This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And good morning from the sous chef of the garden, Frank Proctor. Nice to be with you. And
look at the bright, beautiful blue sky.
I know, but look at the temp.
I was going to say, I got long underwear on and it's spring.
I couldn't wait for my car seat to warm up on the way in. Lord. But it was minus seven.
You need a remote control for your car.
Yeah,
so you can
right.
stand inside the kitchen with your coffee and just press it and the car starts.
Oh, that's...
And everything was warming up for
that's
you.
That's really for... rich folk.
No, you know. I don't think so. Oh, you just put on your Christmas list. Or your birthday, actually. Put on your birthday list.
All right.
It
good
can't
idea.
Be that expensive.
Well, here we are for the, what is it, 24th day of
the
March.
The third month of the
and
2018
And just before
year.
We went on the air, we're checking all the stats for Earth Hour.
Tonight.
Which we'll maybe get to in just a little bit. Let me get the phone numbers on the air because oftentimes we get yakking away and I forget to do my job. Okay, here we are in Toronto. Please, if you'd like to reach Charlie Dobbin, okay, 416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Keep in mind our little mantra, which goes... Call early, call often, one question per call, and hey, Patrolman Proctor, I jump on my bike and pull you over to the side of the road, try and sneak an extra one in there. And if you're a first-time caller, let Sebastian, our operator, know, and then when you get to the air, that will precede your arrival.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah. Which is the big welcome wings.
You get your garden wings. You got it.
Everybody needs garden wings.
Well, sure.
So you can kind of fly, hover above the garden, get a good sense of what's working, what's not working,
okay.
think about changes, call into the show, hire me, whatever.
Oh, we'll talk about that in a little bit, too.
Okay. Yeah. Make a note of all these things we're going to talk about a little bit, but for now,
okay.
a couple of announcements. The Hamilton and Burlington Rose Society will be meeting tomorrow, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, at the Royal Botanical Garden Center, located at 680 Plains Road West in Burlington. They're in rooms 3 and 4. The speaker is Alex Henderson, and he's going to update everybody on the opening of the new Rose Garden at the RBG, which is actually quite exciting. Of course, everyone is welcome to attend. There's no entrance fees, parking fees, nothing like that. So join fellow Rosarians at the RBG on this beautiful, sunshiny, chilly day tomorrow and learn about some of the more beautiful gardens that are being installed on site there and updated. I mean, there always was a Rose Garden, but it's very old-fashioned. There were some very old roses in there that just were not getting the maintenance they needed, and they were not looking good. Coming up this week on Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m., the Bronte Hort Society is hosting our friend Stephen Biggs. Stephen Biggs, he's the fig pig. He wrote the book, The Fig Pig. So Stephen Biggs, The Fig Pig on Farm, Food, and Gardens. So that's at 7:30 at the John Colburn Recreational Center, 1565 Old Lakeshore Road in Oakville. And I'm out on the road. I start into my gigs, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
I do visit a lot of different hort societies and garden clubs, et cetera, I find at this time of year and in the fall. So my first one for this 2018, I think, is this coming up Wednesday, March 28th. I'm at the Brooklyn Hort Society. You know Brooklyn.
Yeah.
It's such a pretty little town.
To the east
town.
And a little north there.
Yeah, of Whitby. Yeah. And you know, it's such a pretty little town. They've used that town for a lot of movie shoots.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the old, I remember going through there. Megan Follows was, there was some, you know, Victorian. That kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Right? And it was July, but it was winter on the in the set. So there was like cotton batting everywhere in the town. It was very cute driving through.
The snowbanks.
Yes,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. It's funny how they pull that off, but they do. So anyway, Brooklyn Hort Society is hosting me at the Brooklyn United Church. My topic is the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Very good.
That's at 7:30 p.m. Lovely town. So I hope to see everybody there.
Excellent. Alrighty. All right. That takes care of some of our announcements. Maybe we'll squeeze a few more in. You never know.
Never know.
Okay. Meantime, we're expecting, in fact, we'll be going on a little ride out to Scarborough in just a couple of moments to talk to Bob. So hang tight there. Zoomer Radio, AM 740, The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Charlie, let's welcome in from Scarborough, Bob, who's on the line right now. Good morning, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning. A quick question, not a question, because I know you only allowed one. It's just a statement. I have belonged to a couple of planter garden clubs in the area here, and also African Violet, and I stopped going and I started listening to you people because you're so down to earth, because when they address the different plants, it's always in with the Latin name, and for the great unwashed, I don't know what they're talking about, but anyway, that's my comment about to listen to you guys, okay, because you call it as it is, you know?
Thank you.
That's good.
Good, but you know, I was just going to interject that I find that most people aren't that comfortable with Latin. So, yes, Latin helps us really identify what plant we're talking about, but it's certainly not normal lexicon for most of us. I mean, an African violet's an African violet, not a St. Paulia, right?
Right.
So, but, you know, it's, you know, I just, most people, if they know the Latin, they also know the common name, and you can usually bring them down if they're not being show-offs anyway.
Yeah, that sounds like what it is.
Okay, my question is, every couple of years I get 2 or 3 yards of topsoil or triple mix for my garden, and I keep a little at the back, so when I replant something, I put it in. But the last few times I've noticed that when I put it on the garden or the lawn, I get such a crop of weeds. My gosh, the last year I put it on, and it was more green on the garden than there was in the grass. And I don't know, I don't want to put any fertilizer on them to kill it, but it just comes up like crazy. And from what I understand, that these places that supply this, they buy it from one of the big distributors, and they go into these housing developments and they buy the top foot of topsoil.
That's right. Yeah.
And then they take it back and put peat in it and manure and mix it or grind it all up. Yeah. But it's just, is there any way of preventing that, or can you get some soil that's not full of weeds?
Okay, so, well, two things. One is, it does depend on your supplier to some extent, who you're getting it from, and of course, who they're getting it from. And you're absolutely right. Most of the triple mix that you're buying in bulk, that's, you know, delivered by truck, is just what you said. It's been taken out where there's construction going on, and it's that upper layer of topsoil.
Mix of everything then.
Yeah, and it's when it's sitting outside, whether it's from where it came from or the big piles they make of it, it's just out sitting in a field somewhere. So, of course, weed seeds are blowing in and out. And they do pile up. If it's properly cared for and maintained, it should be stirred often. And the stirring, you know, with a big front-end loader, that stirring mixes up those seeds, kills them by burying them, also kills them by heating them up because they get buried down inside the pile. It also exposes them up to the surface where, again, they're mixed. So when you order quality triple mix and you're paying quality dollar from a quality supplier, you should not be getting a load of weed seeds with it. So if you've had that experience, I would try going back to the supplier and saying, look, you know, I had a bad experience last time. Tell me why I should ever buy from you again. Or chat up in the neighborhood, see who else is getting from other suppliers, see if anybody else has a better suggestion. The other thing that's quite popular these days are the 1 cubic yard bags.
They're expensive.
They are more expensive than just the big pile on the driveway. But if you can't get to dealing with that whole big pile of triple mix in the first couple of days, you don't have to tarp it because it's all bagged and it's got you can tie up the top on it. It is, yeah, you're right, a little more expensive. But it does tend to be cleaner, I find. You rarely see any kind of weed seeds in those bags.
You know, the joy about the show like this is the fact that our listeners are so quick to share good stories. So if somebody out there has an answer,
in the Scarborough area might have a better suggestion. I mean, there are only so many big, you know, suppliers of soils. But yeah, no, that's just not appropriate. Like, I would be going back to the supplier and saying, look, that was a big mistake on my part buying your triple mix.
Yeah, yeah.
So let them know that, because they need to know that as well.
So where do you get worm casings? They advise you to mix that in, too. I mean, there are people that sell worms for fishing, and there was one in Scarborough here, and they used to get a load of triple mix in, and they would put the worms in, but they would change that about every month, and then they would dump it out. But it's like gold, but you can't buy it commercially.
Well, you know, every year, the Riverdale Hort Society does a worm castings fundraiser. So I'm just looking at their schedule here. Is it on the schedule? We'll learn more about that, or perhaps Heather Sinopoli is probably listening right now, so she could maybe give us a call or shoot us a quick email and just give us an update on that. Usually in May, they do it as a fundraiser.
Yeah,
and
I've taken
you've
advantage
taken
of that.
It,
yeah.
And it was like $10, and it was like a big
huge bag.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it's a very light bag, but it's very large volume. So that absolutely great idea, and you had good success with that when you guys mixed it in up at the cabin there, right?
Yeah,
and it's wonderful organic matter for the soil. So keep listening, Bob, and I'm sure we'll have more to say about the Riverdale Hort Society and their fundraiser.
Okay. Great. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for the calling. Interesting subject matter, indeed.
And if you're into worm poop, anyway.
Yeah. As we wave bye-bye to Bob, I'll repeat those phone numbers because that leaves the line open. 416-360-0740 or anywhere in the province, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. And look at that, right around the corner. Evelyn, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for taking my call on this beautiful day. We have an issue with an anthill at the front of our property. We're south-facing, and it seems like it's been there for about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, and we keep trying various things without success. So I'm wondering if you had any recommendations.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Anthills so often are on the south side or the bright, sunny spots in our gardens. They love the heat and the well-drained soil that comes with those hot southern locations. The older the anthill, typically the bigger the anthill. So that's part of the problem as well. If it's in the lawn or the garden?
It's on the lawn. We have a hill sort of on the front of the lawn that I guess the developer had put years ago. Yeah. It's pretty awful. But, it's on the front garden, front lawn, rather.
Yeah, and the ants love that hill, again, because they love that great drainage on the hill. So, okay, honestly, you'll never kill all the ants. Like, you just won't. And I've said this before. Like, the best you can do is you can set up an environment where the ants are just not happy. So it's just one of those, make their lives miserable, and they will pick up their little babies and their eggs, and they'll move over to the neighbors, and that's really all you can do, right?
Oh, okay.
It's just drive them off the property. Now, how do you do that? Well, there's 101 different ways to do it. I imagine you've tried some of them. First off, I like to open up the hill. It just means using a shovel and digging down the top, 4 or 6 inches. Mm. Open up, lift that soil up out of the way. Of course, panic attack, the whole hill erupts in panic. The adult ants are grabbing the little babies and their eggs and pupa and running around trying to save them from you. So once you've got it open, you've got a couple options. One is boiling water. So you've got to have standing by, right away, as soon as you open up that hill, that hot pot or kettle of boiling water to pour in. Just again, you're setting up an environment that is just not happy for them. Sometimes people use ant killer, which will be either a powder or a liquid that again you'll add into the soil that will slow them down, make it an unhappy situation. There's the spray Bug Be Gone or Bugs. I think it's called Bug Be Gone. There's a spray that Scott's makes. It's a red and white package that can be something they do not like at all. It's just pyrethrin, but they don't like it. Cinnamon. Ants don't like cinnamon.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I go to Costco, buy that big bulk cinnamon, open up the anthill, sprinkle a good, brown layer of cinnamon into the anthill, and again, it's like, whoa, what's going on? Panic, run.
So it's not just regular cinnamon, it's that...
It's just regular powdered cinnamon, the same stuff you'd put in your cappuccino.
Yep. Oh.
Yeah, it's just regular cinnamon. And they do not like cinnamon. I don't know why. There's something about cinnamon. Maybe it's microscopically scratchy or it can't be the smell. It smells great.
For us, anyway.
Yeah. So there, you know, like there's a couple of things like that. And like I said, the best you can do is just to stay on that process of saying, bye-bye ants, move somewhere else. You're never going to kill them all. And frankly, we'd be in deep trouble if we did kill them all. Ants are quite useful little insects.
Yeah,
we just don't like them messing up our lawns and putting those hills and, you know, everything dies where they make their hills.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just drive it. Just get out your little whip, you know, do a rawhide thing and off the property over to the neighbors. Don't tell the neighbors, though.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Okay.
I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Evelyn, for joining us here. Pardon me, on a beautiful sunny morning, but on the cool side. How are the hot calls keep coming in?
We're
going to take a little
break. You can stay
here.
Out of the wind. If you can just get tucked into a little corner outside where there's no wind, it's actually very springy out there.
Yeah.
But as soon as you step out into that nice northwest breeze, gale force winds, it does feel a bit like February.
Just in case folks are driving along and they've tuned into the station almost by accident, you never know.
Nobody would do that, would they?
No.
This is a designated location.
You are listening to Zoomer Radio. It's the Garden Show, AM 740, 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto. Back in a moment to say hi to Shirley and Kohlberg here on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, there's my little darling Charlie, who is covering her ears right now because she sees me reaching for the bell. There it is for a first-time caller, Shirley in Kohlberg. Hi, Shirley.
Welcome.
Good morning. I have a question. I received a planter that had daffodils, hyacinths, and tulip bulbs in it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the leaves are dying off, other than the daffodils. I'd like to keep it in the planter. What do I do to get it to reflower?
Okay, so the bulbs that were in that planter had been forced to grow a bit earlier than they would have naturally grown outside. So they were planted all up into that planter. They were refrigerated for a couple of months, taken out of the refrigerator, and sold to somebody who gave it to you as a gift. So you've enjoyed the flowers. Flowers, I imagine, are pretty much done, but you do need to grow the leaves so that as the green leaves come up, you need to allow those green leaves to grow as green leaves. You'll cut out the dead flowers. So once they're finished, anything green you leave on into the gift planter, into the container, let it grow. Sunny spot in your window ledge. Water only when dry, so at the most once a week, maybe every 10 days or so. Keeping it moist, keeping it growing as a green plant.
The only leaves that are still green are the daffodils.
Okay, so what happened to the other leaves, the tulip leaves and the hyacinths?
They just turned brown and I took them off.
Okay, so the way it works, if for whatever reason those leaves died back prior to fattening up the bulbs again,
mm-hmm.
then they will have just shriveled up and died inside the planter. So that's the trick. The bulbs are full of all this energy,
mm-hmm.
so that the flowers grow and the leaves grow. But flowers take a ton of energy, so they really empty the bulb out. So that's why new leaves grow. The fattening of the bulb takes place again. Once the daffodils are finished flowering and you've got the green leaves happening, let the green leaves do their thing. At some point, once we're into frost-free weather and we're out in the gardens by June, for example, take that gift planter. You can even take it outside once we are frost-free. Just let it be outside. Let it grow. Then you can take it all apart and see what's going on. Inside, if those bulbs are just shriveled up to nothing, then they're compost. If those bulbs are fat and juicy and have some heft to them, you can plant them into your garden, and they will bloom in your garden next spring. You cannot get them to bloom again in pots inside your house, and it will take at least a full 12 months for them to flower again outside.
Okay, so it's either outside or nothing. I can't get them to go again in the planter.
That's correct.
Okay.
All righty.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Another satisfied customer.
But Shirley, you can go out next fall, next August, September, buy yourself some fresh bulbs, pot them up for yourself into pots, stick them in your own refrigerator, and then pull them out and have beautiful flowers inside next winter by doing it yourself.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. And once again, little Frankie reaches for that
your
bell.
Your arm's getting a workout.
I know. That's for Barbara, first-time caller from Lindsay. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was listening to your show last fall about crabgrass and corn gluten.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a spot about 48 square feet, I'm just guessing. I dug it all up, like you said. Okay, I dug the whole patch up and left it over the winter.
Okay.
Is it time now to put the corn gluten on?
You're in Lindsay. Probably not quite yet. You'll know it's time to put the corn gluten on when the forsythia, the yellow blooming spring shrub, is just starting to flower.
Do
get a hold of a bag of the corn gluten. It typically will come with a lawn fertilizer mixed with the corn gluten. It'll be called crabgrass preventer or something like that. And do get a bag of that and be ready to go so that when the weather is with you, you know, it's a dry day and the forsythia are starting to crack yellow, which based on our current temperatures is still a few weeks away. Though we're talking double digits next week, so you never know. We might be getting forsythia by first, second week of April.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you'll get it out there and it will be quite effective. Bottom line is the corn gluten has to be present when those crabgrass seeds want to germinate. And they're not going to want to germinate till the soil warms up quite a bit more and the air warms up.
Well, I bought corn gluten, but it doesn't say anything about fertilizer on it.
Oh, okay. So you just bought straight corn gluten. That's possible. That does exist as just a straight. It's in a bag or?
Yeah, it's in a bag. It's in a pail.
Oh, okay. So read what it says on, keep in mind corn gluten itself is, by virtue of being a byproduct of the corn industry, it is organic, so it does have some very important nutrients in it. It's just not a balanced lawn fertilizer per se, but it will feed your lawn to some extent or that area. But do read the instructions on the pail. It should tell you how deep to apply it or how thick you should be applying it on your lawn. It should also be clear on when to apply.
Okay.
And how far it will go kind of thing.
I see.
All right.
Okay. Well, I was thinking about putting it on right away, but definitely my forsythia is not blooming.
No. You still got snow in Lindsay? I bet in some of the
shady
spots.
Well, actually, the temperature this morning is, right now, is -5, so I don't think that the forsythia is going to do much yet.
No, the forsythia still has its long underwear and a scarf wrapped around its neck at this point.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you, Barbara.
Okay.
Nice to have you with us on this gorgeous Saturday morning. Boy, oh boy.
Frosty, but gorgeous.
Just a quick little comment about coming in on Saturday morning for me is a real pleasure when I'm coming down the 404 and I'm just at the exit for Bayview Bluer, you know that stretch? And you look up and you see the skyline of Toronto. Man, if I were a really good photographer, I would stop and take a picture. It is gorgeous.
Yeah, that time of day. And it's clear.
Yeah.
You know what I've noticed? And it's connected to the fact that they shut down all the coal-fired hydro generating stations. The air in Toronto year round is much clearer. Like you don't see that
brown
remember
smog.
We used to see that brown smog and you'd see it coming south, right? You'd sort of come down off the 401 and you look over the skyline or where from that distance and across the whole lakeshore you would just see that brown layer on a warm day. So you don't see that anymore, which is good.
That's true.
It's a good thing.
Reminder of those phone numbers. I better get that on the air again here. We've got a couple of lines open right now. 416-360-0740 here in Toronto, and then anywhere in the province, toll free 1-866-740-4740. Let's say hi to Jean in one of our favorite areas of Toronto, High Park. Hi, Jean.
Yes, I'm calling from High Park. Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. I just want to ask you, when should we spray trees like plums and other trees?
All right, so you have fruit trees, do you?
I have plums.
Okay. So
yeah, couple plums.
Okay, good. Well,
and have to be sprayed because otherwise, the bug's gonna eat them.
You're right. So you have to get a hold of something called a dormant kit.
But should be sprayed now or later or when?
It's all based on weather.
April?
No, you could spray now. Actually,
no.
I wouldn't spray today. Okay, here's how it works. Spray is applied when the temperature is above zero. So the temperature must be above zero for 24 hours, no rain in the forecast, and very little wind. So today is a little too chilly, but by Wednesday, Thursday this week, you should be able to spray.
Okay.
It's going to warm up a bit.
I do that, yes.
Okay, good.
I will do that.
Do it then. You'll be glad you did.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a million.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Gene, for joining us here on a terrific-looking Saturday morning. But, hey, kind of bundle up when you get outside. It's not as warm as it looks. There is Marilyn in Ancaster. Good morning, Marilyn. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hi, dear Charlie, I phoned you at the end of December that I had got 3 amaryllis in wax. They're all wax.
Oh, I remember, yep.
Anyhow, you told me to take the wax off, and I did, and I repotted them in 4-inch pots. Well, I have them all, they're growing like crazy. Uh-huh. 2 are just all leaves. The other one is huge, huge red flowers. 6
nice.
Flowers on
oh,
it.
Oh, beautiful. That's great.
And now they're dying off.
Right, but
what do I do with them now?
Okay, so flowers will finish. But anything green must be left on those bulbs. So green flower stems, green leaves, let the green grow. And let that green grow all spring and all summer. So I actually have amaryllis blooming at my house right now, too. So I'm going to be taking my pots with the bulbs in the pots and the green leaves flopping all over the place outside once we're frost-free. So by the end of May, I'm taking it all outside. I'm going to stick it in a spot in the garden where it's a bit of sun, bit of shade.
I don't have a garden.
Do you have a balcony?
No, all I have is a little patio.
Okay, so put them out on the patio. Main thing is let them grow as green plants as long as possible, because the more they grow with green leaves, the bigger the bulbs will become, so that you'll have more sort of guaranteed flowers next winter. And all it is just letting them grow as long as you can by the middle or end of August. Then we stick them in a dark corner in the basement or wherever, stop watering and forget about them for 2.5 months, 3 months.
I'm going to be going to BC to live. Mm-hmm. Can I take them with me?
Sure, sure. When are you moving?
Just in a pot?
Yeah.
By that time, it'll be end of August, beginning of September. September.
So that's when you will have stopped watering. And so the fact that they're going to be in the dark and with no water, it'll be fine. Just be careful that they don't get baked in a moving van that could become very, very hot. They will.
Oh, yeah, probably
cook.
Will be, yeah.
So just think about that, if there's some way that you could carry them. Are you driving or are you flying?
No, I'm flying.
Okay, so there's just probably a moving van going. Maybe you can talk to the movers about having a little box of bulbs up in the
camp, yeah.
with them. So that,
okay, now, but the stem with the flower on, when it's gone, I cut that right down.
Yeah, well, it's green at first, so just take the top off, just take the dead flowers
just
off.
Just cut the top off or the flowers are dying.
That's right, and the green stem, it's hollow, it will slowly start to wizen, it'll turn yellow, it'll slowly start to die down. So wait till it dies right down before you remove it. Meanwhile, green leaves are coming up.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
I've had to put corks and everything around them because they're flopping down so bad.
Yeah, they do.
Because they're only little 4-inch pots.
It's interesting. So they were very small bulbs if they fit into 4-inch pots.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting in that they flowered.
I heard you say that they like to be pot-bound.
Yeah, they do. They do. But usually, amaryllis, I always think kind of 6 inch is the smallest pot we can fit them into. So, well, but you know what? It sounds like you're doing everything right. They're sounding pretty happy to me.
Well, good luck.
Do I feed them?
Yes, you can. Now you can, and water them right through till the end of August.
Yeah, I'm going to water them today and feed them then.
Good idea.
Good luck on that move to BC, and you can always keep in touch with us, of course, via computer. Just pop online to AM 740 Zoomer Radio and listen to our podcast.
At your convenience. You can listen live on the web, or you can listen to the podcast, which is a taping of the show that's available 24/7, starting by about Tuesday, Wednesday after the show.
Absolutely.
On AM 740.
Okay. And, you know, we have two more first-time callers online.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. You need to have some Wheaties or something. That's some serious exercise.
We do have to take a break. We've got a lot of fine sponsors we have to pay some time to. Here we go on Zoomer Radio, The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, we're going to take a little trip to Mount Pleasant to welcome a first-time caller.
Okay, but where is Mount Pleasant?
Well, both of us looked at the screen and said, gee, not the cemetery. No, it has to be. So, no. Lynn, where are you located?
We're about 10 minutes south of Brantford.
Oh, righty, we know okay. Where that is. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question I'm hoping you can help me with. Mm-hmm. We have 4-acre property, and our back, about 3/4 of an acre, is all clay soil. Mm. And we are looking for suggestions for a cover crop.
Okay.
In that area, we also have our vegetable garden, some young fruit trees, and some of the vegetables are perennials, like strawberries, raspberries, rhubarb, asparagus. We do have some residual buckwheat in about a 50-foot by 30-foot patch that just kind of reseeded itself.
Okay.
But we also have 3 beehives, of which we will expand that.
Right.
So we're looking for something the bees would like.
Yeah, absolutely.
And would be a permanent cover crop to keep all the weeds down and feed the soil.
Oh, okay. So, a cover crop is usually something that we sow for maximum 6, 7, 8 months, and then we till it in or at least chop it down so that what has grown up decomposes to loosen up all that clay soil you were referring to. So you've got things like strawberries and fruit trees all growing into that clay soil now?
Yes.
Okay. So, yes, cover crops, it would be more just almost like having a fallow field if you were to sow something that will stay there as a permanent crop, as a permanent cover, obviously supporting the pollinators, slowly but surely helping to make the soil a better soil. You would probably want to go with a legume family plant, just because they can, take nitrogen out of the air. They have deep tap roots. They can break up some of that clay and over the long term really help loosen and shake up that clay soil. So your buckwheat is an excellent choice, and not to mention the honey that the bees make from buckwheat is very flavorful, like very distinctive honey. Also, red clover is very popular as a cover crop and very much of a supportive plant as a pollinator plant because of the little flowers. The bees love it. So red clover or white clover, but red is more traditionally the one that's put out as a cover and as a crop. Winter rye is used, but again, that's not a short-term crop. That's designed to be tilled into the soil. And an annual ryegrass, same thing. Annual ryegrass will come up, but of course it will grow, then it will die in the frost. And again, in the late fall or early spring, you would till that in, adding and incorporating all that organic material into your existing clay soil. So for your purposes of leaving it, seeding and leaving, I'd stick with buckwheat or clover, one or the other.
Okay, so we were considering white clover, so your recommendation would be good to go with the red if we were looking at the clover.
Yeah, and I'm not exactly sure why. Like, that's a good question. I would need to look that up. Typically, it's always red clover that I see used as a cover crop. White clover is available, though, as a seed in bulk through the co-op. And sometimes you'll even find white clover for sale in, like, a Canadian Tire. Whereas you don't see red clover available at a Canadian Tire. So I need to do some research to figure out which one is preferred in the different situations. But definitely either of the clovers at this point I would recommend. I'm just not sure which one I would recommend more without doing a little bit of research.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you
so
much.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Lynn. Nice to have you join us here on a Saturday on Zoomer Radio.
All right, I will look that up. I will, just for everybody's interest, I will report back on that for next week.
All right. And here we go. Another first-time caller.
Oh,
hey, that's for Sue in Wingham. Good morning.
Welcome, Sue.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm calling you to find out how to get rid of moss in the lawn and a bit of a garden on the north side. It gets very little sun.
Right. So you've got a couple of things that are going on that are making that a happy place for moss. One is the shade. Moss loves a shady spot. Number two is the drainage. Moss loves a moist spot. So there's obviously some kind of grading where moisture is collecting in that area, or at least moisture is staying in the ground in that area where the moss is growing. So to make it a less moss-friendly environment, you need to raise the grade in that area, making sure you know where the water is going to go. You want to keep it away from the house. So grade away from the house. Incorporate some sand. You need better drainage because you've got water or moisture sitting in that soil. And then the actual bottom line, too, is it's an acidic area for whatever reason. Acidic soils, low pH, moss loves. So you need to think about raising the pH. So think about sand. Think about adding sand in such a way that you're helping with some drainage, making sure the grade is away from the home and away from that area. And some horticultural lime or dolomitic lime could be part of what you mix in, and that will be raising the pH for you. And all of a sudden, the whole area is going to change up entirely as an environment. And then you would, after that, at that point, get some triple mix, some compost, get the amendments going, and plant whatever you want. That's shade tolerant, obviously.
Well, I got a lot in the lawn, too, and I just got thinking I don't want to damage the grass.
That's the thing.
What is there a solution you can put on the lawn?
You know what? They do sell some stuff that's called like moss killer or moss preventer, and it is a soap solution, and I never have quite figured out why soap is going to kill moss. So, I mean, you could try it on the lawn. I've seen it for sale at obviously a garden center or at a home store, a Home Depot, Canadian Tire. Moss, it's either called Moss Killer or Moss Preventer. It's a little spray bottle. So try that on the lawn if you don't want to dig up the lawn. See if that gives you any kind of satisfaction, but be prepared to get some shade-tolerant grass seed ready to go to fill in if you're able to kill the moss. Get some good grass growing in there so the moss can't move back in.
Okay. That's fine. I thank you very kindly.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Sue. From Wingham, that actually was the first, I went up to the television station, very first time I auditioned for a job in radio. And CKNX, I do believe. And I,
so, like, as an announcer, you did an audition?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was 17, and they gave me a newscast to read a two-minute newscast. Correction. It was a five-minute newscast. I read it in 2.5 minutes. I was so nervous.
You didn't breathe once.
No.
Yeah, you just, no.
And you know something? We have two more first-time callers hanging on the line.
Wow.
Sylvia and Hillary, don't go away. We're coming right back at you here on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And Charlie, it's been a record-setting day. Let's welcome now.
Well, how? How do you mean record-setting?
Well, as far as first-time callers are concerned.
You're absolutely right. Look at this.
Yeah. Sylvia in Pickering.
Welcome.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm from Pickering, and I'm a senior. Mm-hmm. I hope I can get this all out because I'm nervous.
Oh, don't be. You're my friends.
When we moved here, I put in a garden, and it was really beautiful. And the Horticultural Society gave me one of those little signs that you put in.
Nice, yeah.
So that people can see that they've looked at it and they approve of it or whatever.
Yeah, it's a recognition, yeah.
Yeah. And after a few years, the city came and widened the road, and they took about half of our front lawn, and after that, they put down new sod, unfortunately, it was full of weed seed, and after the weeds started coming up, I tried to dig them up, but I couldn't. It was too hard. I'm a senior.
Yeah, it's horrible soil.
And someone told me that the city could help. But I called them many times, and finally they said it was my problem. And the problem is that it's not just on my property. It's up the road, and next door is so bad, and they can't do anything about it. So we've been trying to dig out theirs as well. I don't know what to do. We were thinking of tilling it and seeing if that would work. And my daughter said, well, if you do that, then all the seeds will just be turned over or whatever.
Yeah. You wouldn't till it with the weeds alive, because all you're going to do is make it a better, happier place, and the weeds will grow even more. Depending on how you want to do this, I mean, obviously you could hire a lawn care company, who, you know, young, strong people who will come in and do the kind of labor that needs to be done in terms of removing, getting some good soil, getting some proper, you know, sod into weed-free soil and get it all established for your entire road. Or you could get out Roundup early this spring, like early in the season when the weeds are just starting to grow. Get the Roundup out. You can buy that at your local Canadian Tire. Spray that onto those young weeds as they're starting to come up. If there's grass there, you're going to kill the grass. You're going to kill the weeds. You're going to kill everything you spray. Once everything's dead, which is going to take, you know, a couple of days after the day you spray it, then you can till, and then you can either reseed or resod. But don't do any tilling unless everything's dead, or be prepared to lift it all out and have somebody drive it away to the landfill.
What about black plastic?
At the front of the home like that, it wouldn't look very nice. It'd be slippery if people step on it. Like, it's one of those. And it's city property,
right?
Too.
Oh.
Right? I mean, that's the thing. The city is making the homeowner responsible for maintaining city property, which they do all over the world, as far as I know. So, yeah, Sylvia, not easy answers there. Expensive to hire the turf care people, but they can do a good job for you, and you can just sit back and drink your tea and watch, or get, you know, some Roundup, some equipment, and get working on killing the weeds before you try fixing the area.
Right.
All right?
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much, Sylvia. And don't be a stranger. We'd
That's
love
right.
to hear back.
Coffee's always on.
You got it. Quickly, let's get to our final call here.
It's the Coburg Show.
Hillary from Coburg.
Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, Charlie.
Hello, Hillary.
I actually worked with you 30 years ago at White Rose.
Well, nice to chat again.
anyways, I got a fiddle leaf fig tree as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in a 16-inch pot,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a root ball in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I need some advice about transplanting it.
Do you want it to get bigger, the actual plant to get bigger? Okay, so can you get a bigger pot than the 16-inch?
Yeah. So how much bigger do I go?
Not a lot bigger. You'll probably be able to go to a 20. I don't see 18-inch pots very often. So a 20-inch pot would be optimal.
Okay.
And fresh soilless mix, or a potting mix of one kind or another.
Okay.
It's probably a pretty tall plant, right?
It's about 9 or 10 feet.
Wow. So if you can get it outside, well, I guess you're going to have to lay it down on its side. So if you have room to do that inside, or you can take it outside once we're frost-free, you're going to lay it down on its side with some help, obviously.
Yeah.
Somebody's holding the plant. A couple other people are pulling off the existing pot. And
then
examine the roots. If there's a lot of spiraling and girdling going on with those roots, be prepared to do some pruning and trimming of the roots to try and, you know, the figs are super vigorous. It's very hard to kill them. You can remove up to 20% of the roots if you need to in order to make room for fresh soil into that slightly bigger pot. And then, you know, obviously into the bigger pot, well watered, and back into its happy place. That's what I would do. And they're a very, very trendy plant. They're in all the magazines right now.
I know.
So you're right on trend.
I have really high ceilings, so it looks really, really beautiful.
Excellent. Thanks, Hillary. We've got to let you go just because we're down to mere seconds here on the show. Thanks for calling, though.
Call back again, though.
Yeah.
Next week, we might hear from you, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Gee, been a good show, Charlie.
Yeah, it's been a fast show.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen? But it was the first time caller show, and it was the Coburg show. So welcome, Coburg. Call anytime.
You got it.
And so you're busy. You're back on there.
1:30, I'm back, and have lots of fun for this afternoon.
Excellent. You always have fun.
And some wonderful timeless hits, too.
Oh, not to mention. All right. Well, thank you, Frank. Couldn't do it without you. Couldn't do it without Sebastian or any of our great callers. So thanks, everyone. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.